Father, we give you grace. We thank you for that wonderful grace that you've given us. We thank you for your grace that's so real, so bountifully, and so special. Lord, we thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you change not. Lord, we thank you for your kindness, for your tender mercy. Oh, for thy blessings. Father, those blessings beyond description that you give to us, constantly caring for us, taking care of us and watching us, moving upon us as only you can. And Father, I just want to thank you. What a privilege for each one of us to be able to say, Abba, Father, that you are a Heavenly Father. We love you so much. We thank you for the privilege of Jesus, the one that's came, pay in full, that we might receive redemption story, that wonderful gift from you this day. And Father, we thank you for the gift that Jesus has given to us. We thank you for that he gifted us with his life, for all he's done. And Father, we thank you that he's sitting at your right hand of you now. And we thank you that the word says he's making intercession with groanings, which cannot be uttered. And Father, we thank you for that gift of life that you've given us today in a very special way. Father, we pray for those this day that are going through struggles, through temptations, through hardships, through things that's not convenient for them to go through. And Father, for those that have no livelihood, for those that have no money, nothing, they have nothing, really they have nothing for themselves at all, that they need extra help, they need extra strength. Father, we lift up those, we lift up the lowly, we lift up those who have once known you in this day. They've went to a place beyond their falling back from you. And Father, we lift them up and pray that they will be encouraged this day. Father, for those who have committed sins and they want forgiveness, I pray, Lord God, that you would deal with them with mercy. Bless them in a very special way. Father, we thank you that you are a forgiving God. And Father, we thank you that we can repent and you'll give us a new start. Father, we thank you for in the wonderful name of Jesus for this glorious, this most beautiful day. And we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I really felt today for something just a second ago that starting points are so wonderful. If you look back through your life, if you've been a Christian any length of time, there's some place in your life when you really started going toward the Lord. And starting points are really good if you keep that, because anytime you stop, then that's no longer the starting point. If you've got a starting point, that means you're still going forward and you're still going on toward the Lord. And these starting points start in many times of our life. Even before we start, sometimes we have to do some preparation before we start. That preparation is that God deals with us. He speaks his heart and lets us know deep within us that we're not really where he would like for us to be. And we get to start searching. We think, well, maybe that's the truth. Maybe I'm not where I should be. And we start studying the word. We start examining our hearts. We've tried taking a great look at our own hearts, our own life, our own walkway, our own pathway, that we're starting out in something that we're aware that we're responsible people through this life. When people are not even Christians, we find out that we have to be responsible. We have to be one that whatever comes our way, if we have a penalty, we have to pay for it. If we do something wrong, we have to pay the price. And that's what life is about. And the starting off point with the Lord that I like to bring today, that we don't have too many penalties. That we're where we should be before basically we start. We've thought it through. And Jesus said that a man should think about what he's going to do before he even accepts Jesus Christ. Before the one goes and going to make war in this country, he must examine and see if he's got enough forces to be able to come against the forces that's going to come against him. It's in the Word of God. Jesus said that. He said, let's think about these things, what it's going to cost. And anybody that takes up the plow, he's not to look back. He'll look back from the plow is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So when we start from that starting point, he doesn't want us to look back. He wants us from that point on to go ahead and say, Lord, I'm going to try. I'm going to do the very best I can. And I would like to say that when we accept Jesus, that should be that very starting point. And we should have thought it through to some depth to say, tomorrow I'm going to keep going on. And when a lot of times, many times, two or three days pass by and we say, well, you know, it's a light occasion. But this starting point shouldn't be a light occasion. It should be a great
meaning to our hearts. It's like Jesus said, this woman went out and found this pearl. And that's where we are. We find this pearl of Jesus, the wonderful life. It's beyond, we can't even, there's no way with our monies, no way to pay for what God's done for us. That wonderful love. And we need to take that as not as a light position in life. It's not just going down the altar or going down shaking the pastor's hand, which is good. But when doing that, you need to really take concerned about truly that's in your heart. That's your desire to serve the living God. When you accept Him, it isn't just a small thing that you're doing. And I believe that's what God wants. It's not something just as a half measure. You know, it's like somebody getting married and really didn't want to marry after they got married. And that's what I think, there's too many people that get receive Jesus afterward to say, I don't really need it. We need to have a full desire when we do it, that I want to go all the way. I want to plan my life in the Lord, that He might liberate me, that I might be a blessing of praise. And I believe too many people have started in this direction, what I'm talking about, and they haven't really thought through, and today they're not really on fire for the Lord. They're not putting Him truly first. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Many people don't pray because they really haven't had that wonderful encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Zacchaeus was a little bitty man of small stature, and he wanted to meet Jesus. So he climbs up this great sycamore tree and gets up there where he can see Jesus. And he sits there. Oh, I feel the Spirit of God coming on me right now. When he starts, that here comes Jesus, and he's looking down at Jesus, and Jesus looks up to him. Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste, for I will wish to make my abode in your house this day. Well, Jesus said a mouthful there, because that's what He wishes for each one of us, that He wants to make His abode with our hearts this day, that our house would be full of the glory of God, that we would have a vision of heaven. It's what we're going for is something we can't, there's no substitute what God's given us. We can't let it go. It's greater. And the enemy can't come no longer and disturb us, say, oh, you know, you just do like you want. No, you're made your mind up. You're on the pathway to heaven. I will lift my eyes to the hills. What's come my help? We have that desire in our heart. We have that faithful longing that I want to be with my Jesus. He's done so much for me that why would I ever want to miss Him, do anything that's wrongfully toward Him? And when we take it lightly, we're putting no emphasis on Him. And when you buy something of a house, of great wealth, you love that but if you get something that you don't really care about, you never have that great desire on that house. If you can have the greatest house that you can have and have everything that you desire, you'll have a greater longing for that than if you had some old shack down the road, something that's not really pleasing to you, something you're ashamed of. You're going to live in that shack and you say, well, I'm not really happy about this. And that's the way we are. But we need to be happy. This is not a shack that God's given us. It's the glory of God. It's a refuge from the things of this world. It's a safe zone that we can live in. It's a time that our trials can be changed into blessing. It's a time that we can have love of God in it, and we don't hate people. We can have that compassion on people. We can have that delivery that God's with us. If He be for us, who can be against us? We start growing the nature and admonition of God, and we find favor in God because we started off on that day, starting point, and we've never chose to go. Jesus, God says that's what's happened to Israel. They wanted to go back. Israel didn't want to go back to Egypt, the children of Israel. And that's the way we are. We can never, the Bible says, he looking back from the plow is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. God wants us to have that trust, believe in Him, that every day with Jesus is a sweeter day than before. And tomorrow I'm going to love Him more than I do today. And the next day I'm going to love Him more than I did that day. And that should be our aim, our guide, our rule that we follow, that I'm going to follow satisfactory to do the things of God. But if we don't read this word of God, we pray, if we don't pray without ceasing, somehow that we lose it. This wonderful blessing, that starting point, unless we continue searching for God, we lose it. There's something within us that we lose what we have. We just stop and you stop. You pretty soon, you've lost the cause. You say, why did I go this far? I don't really care. Well, that's when we get in critical condition. We're in a place of backsliding. We're in a place of losing what we have in the Lord. We're in a place of losing out the Spirit of God, that we can have that Spirit within us that guides us to the direction. We need that guiding force from heaven that guides us daily in a manifold blessing. We will be observing to the things of God, that we will not take the things as slack or just common. We take them as mighty in God. We count it as a privilege to know the Lord. We don't count it as a light occasion, but as a privilege that God called me out, that He sought for me, and He paid in full, that I might be redeemed, that I might be set free. I thank God that God is real. I was thinking about the Word of God the other day about when the Lord, time after time, how God can move. And many of you out there can have what I'm telling you right now. God's telling me to share these lists. But I can remember time after time for those years that the Lord would say, today I want you to go pray for someone, pray for this person, and you'll see them. And how exact instant that I would be driving down the highway, and that exact instant that person would be hitting the tree, and he's happy. And God wants us thoroughly to walk in the Spirit, we not no longer fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh comes against the move of the Spirit. So many times we're so carnal-minded that we're not looking spiritually. We're looking at what we see. We're looking what we can find, what I'm going to get out of it. And then you need to get that out of your mind, what you're going to get out of it, because that's selfishness. That's your own pearl wrongfully. God wants us to be above that. He wants us to no longer want those things that bring us down. He wants us to be above reproach. God wants to come in the avenue that He's coming to us, that we might be blessed from heaven. And we don't do it for our own selfish gain, but we do it because of the love of God. The love of God constraineth us to go follow our God. God wants us to be followers as true soldiers of Christ, that we can walk in victory. We can walk denying the powers of darkness and having success in the Lord Jesus Christ, walking faithfully. But God will never deceive you out there, sir. God will show you something. He will always keep it down to the exact second if it needs to be. God has never lost a second in time. He knows all things, is all things. He knows exactly when you've done searching. And that day in heaven, He will read out for you, this is what has happened to you at a certain time. And you'll say, yes, sir. Are you found guilty? We don't need to be found guilty if we keep our day up to date every day. There's many of us, our past history needs to be a day of prayer. Because we're not satisfied. We're not satisfied with our own life. This day, I myself, I got up and I said, Lord, I want in my life nothing in my life to be anything that's not what I want it to be. I want forgiveness any place in my life. Search my life. This day I did that. And God wants us to this day to go on in the Lord Jesus Christ, that every day of our life we're walking in fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And what the problem is, we're so far from God that God cannot see us because of the sin that's in our life. We need to come out from among this world that we might be separated, that we might walk in the joy of the Lord, that we might walk the heavenly host of God. He that dwells in the secret place the most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Oh, I love the Lord. God is wonderful. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my mighty God. Him I choose. We have to come in with simplicity of the gospel, but also in trusting the living God, walking in His victory. You don't command God to do anything. God commands us to do with Him. So we need to come in with simplicity, following God as a child. The child don't tell the parent what to do. The parent tells the child what to do. And God's our parent. So we need that increase, daily speech from heaven that helps us to coordinate our life with life's plans, with life journeys that we go, that day is not taking us unaware. The Bible says that doesn't come upon us unaware. Many people are not prayed up, so when the events come to pass, they're out camping when they should have been planning their life with God. They're out not doing the will of God. They're out whatever joy in the way. But then when certain things come their way, they're not where they should be. It comes on upon you as unaware. It comes upon you as not being prepared. It comes upon you as December 7th, 1941. Bobby the Pearl came on unaware. And that's where the Spirit of God is. I was thinking about all these floods. El Paso. Some of these poor people are victims. Comes on them. God starts speaking His time. He's speaking the newsreels to say, God is warning America. Look, do you see what happened in El Paso? That's God showing us to wake up. Never hear nothing like that. But God's telling America to wake up. Louisiana. God spoke that New Orleans was going to be just exactly what happened. And God was right. God never fails. What God's interested in is not start from, but where we're going to end up at. We're going to end up even in two places. We're going to end up in God's mighty loving hands. Hopefully everyone that's hearing me this day, that you will be there. That you'll be at that wonderful, oh, I can't even express, extravaganza above all glories. It's beyond all imagination. It's going to be a worldwide spectacular in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. For the redeemed are coming back to heaven. And they're going to come there with great adoration and loving their God and having favor with their God and praising Him and giving Him glory and honor. What a wonderful time. But if we don't do it, we lose out. We start missing for that final day. That starting point is no longer starting point because you've lost the starting point because now you're wandering. You're doing just like Israel. You're going back around. You're wandering 40 years in the desert. And I see people that's wandering all their lifetime and they're still wandering. And I can't even tell them because God says, look, God wants us to wake up. We got to seek the Lord. You know, God's not going to force Himself on none of us. There's not going to be nobody comes out and takes you by the hand and says, come on, come on, come on. No, you've got to do that yourself. I thought maybe when I started out, there might be someone would say, oh, come on, please, because I always wanted more of the Lord. But I found out that wasn't the way it went. They might tell me, no, you don't need so much. But I found out that I must seek God. And when people told me that I couldn't seek God, that's when I needed to really seek Him more. When anybody would say, oh, you're overdoing it, that's when I need to go be more involved in the things of the Lord. Forsaking the things as yesterday. Paul taught about forsaking the old things, taking on the new things, taking on that favor of God, taking on that resurrection life that will make you holy, visible, but God's eyes will never leave you. His eyes are on the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. What a blessed hope, a blessed strength, a blessed power, a blessed anointing that will thrill you, keep you, and when you touch someone, you know they're healed, you know they're saved, because God has given this in your heart. You are an instrument of God. Now you started out the starting point as nothing, but when you end up, you're going to be an instrument of God walking in His glory. You can't go wrong. God is right. God's on your side. He will not let you go. The only way to let you go is you do it yourself. And that's where many of they hear things. Oh, you know, over here at the first church, well, you know, you get over here and we got a sort of a club over here, do this and that. But those are not, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but where your instructions come is from God, the Spirit of God. I don't care. The church gets you to that place that you can get involved with God. That's what it's for. It's the church is there to get you involved from Him. And if that's not being made complete, then you're no starting point. Electricity doesn't come on to the starting point. When that switch goes up, it's a starting point. It stays there till it's disconnected. Hopefully everything paid in full. And if the meter still reads, it'll stay on. That's the way we are. It stays on. God makes sure that it's unlimited power comes through us. Unlimited resources. Unlimited blessings. Unlimited glory. That we can walk this universe in this power of God. While we're here, we can walk in victory. We don't have to walk denied. So many people are so careless. They're walking, and they're not walking close to the Spirit. I like so many people I see. I say, glory, have a good day. They don't even know what I'm talking about. That good day was God. Every morning you get up, good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Holy Ghost. Glory. The glory of God is here. It's available. We take it too lightly. We take it as non-response. And that's why revivals have not come in this land, because people are going after gifts of things, of feelings. When God's not a feeling, He's it. We get the feeling afterwards. We don't go come to have a revival, to everybody shake, quake, and whatever. We got a revival that you'll start living right, that you can eventually get to the place that God will touch you, use you for His glory. You don't go revival, and they've had it backwards for so many years, you didn't get a revival to get everybody, oh, out here. And you many times God starts moving the hearts of people, then the Spirit will come in, the human Spirit, and let them get it singing. Oh, and then pretty soon the words will come, oh, my little people, you're so wonderful, you're so glorious, and people, they've lost the conviction of God. They lost what the revival was about. They lost it in their own human desires. We don't need that
to touch your heart, we need to touch God's heart. We need to have nothing, because if we'll touch God's heart, He'll make sure our hearts, we want to make sure we go to church on Sunday, then I'll have a touch of my heart. But we need a deeper touch. It doesn't come in through the supernatural feeling of your own spirit. When God speaks to me, I stop, even though I'm feeling good, because I've learned that we must follow leadership, and God walks in those ways. He wants you to feel good, but if it comes to push or shove, He wants you to stop when He says stop. Start when He says start. Finish, and you'll be a finisher. God wants us to finish this race, that we will start it, no longer walking in vain. We'll walk in the leadership of the glory of God. Seeing the glory come up. I've seen many, many people I've seen saved. Many, many people I've seen God's glory. In jail, I've seen hundreds of men saved. But it's because the Spirit of God comes down. The Spirit of God is the tool that God wants to use this day. You might say out there, sir, oh, it's old-fashioned. I'll guarantee it's not old-fashioned. It's in fashion, because God set, ordained it, that it'll work. It'll set people safe. Out of 31 men, I remember one time, and God spoke to my heart that night when I went in, and I was real tired. The Spirit of God says, you go in, I'll go with you. Boy, when God goes with you, mighty things happen. I got in that jailhouse, and those people were cursing me. They was giving me things with their hands, terrible things. And I started, God anointed me, the Spirit of God, and God started moving. And I'll tell you, after that 31 men, 29 give their heart to Jesus, and the tears were coming down. The tears of God. Those many of those people become pastors, saved. In an old-fashioned jailhouse. But it's because it's the Spirit of God. It's not the fancy chandeliers. It's not the glorious one. It's the Spirit of God. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God wants to work for His Spirit. Is one person is a majority if God is with you. God favors you. God moves upon you mightily. I wish I could feel this day, every day of my life. This is glorious. God's here to establish you so you might walk in victory. Oh, hallelujah. If God be for you, who can be against you? That law will always work out correctly. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Greater is He that's within you. He is of the world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Blessed is he that walketh the counsel of God. God's here to restore you. God's here to enable you. But you must take heed the things that you heard. The Bible says, lest any time you let them slip. Slipping is losing it after you get it. We don't want to lose nothing. We want to gain momentum instead of losing momentum. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to gain momentum in the Spirit. Not so much in the natural, but in the Spirit. We need to gain momentum. You do that as exercising in the Spirit. And that's, there's no exercise. I see it nowhere. Very few that's in the exercise through the Spirit. The Spirit of God comes out and everybody flees. They go like a bunch of covered quail. They go every place. They don't want to stay in where God wants to tutor them. They don't want the tutoring of God. But God's here. He don't lose a soul. And if you'll stay in with God, God will cleanse you. I won't do it, but no one will do it. But God will cleanse you. If you'll seek God, He will follow up on you. He will bless you. But it takes churches to get you to that point. And God bless the churches. But we need churches that will get people to the place that they can bring that person to God. But when God is the answer, don't starve that person after they come to that point. Don't tell him you can't go any farther, because God's the answer. Who knows, there are Billy Sundays, many others that will come forth in a mighty resurrection of God's glory. God's got a people. God's had a holy calling. God has a resurrection life that is real, faithful. Glory to God. Glory to God. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're so special. You're so satisfying. Oh, I thank you. Oh, when they told me, said, how long is that old D9 going to run? This company asked me, how long will it run? I said, I don't know. But my God, dude, some almost a year before that, Spirit of God said it'll run out through this year, but won't make it in the next year. You know, on the 31st of December, right here in this town, it moved out and seemed like everything was all right. The operator's name was Ben. He moved right up to an old California-type gate that was in the road there, and he parked it right there. The day after New Year's, they came to pick up the cat up. Wouldn't run. And I've seen this time and time again. God's always faithful. Another young fellow drained an oil out of his starting engine,
And I said, pull that starting engine off and I'll rebuild it for you, because I was working for Cat and I could do that. He said, no, he says, you're missing the point. I need you to pray for it. I said, God don't peel stuff like this. I said, this is some years back. He says, you pray, you go out and you pray. You make sure, because I know that God's going to do it if you do it. I said, well, okay, I'll go see. Spirit of God said, if you can get rid of the unbelief, I'll do it. I don't know, they might have been angels just to test me, but there's three men came in there and they said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to pray for this cat on the starting engine. And I said, if you don't believe, leave. They just laughed and went off. But God healed that starting engine. God's never, 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 never. I went through a lot of troubles, but God's never, never let me down when it comes to keeping His word. Keeping His word, God will always keep it. He'll bless you. He'll put such a love and fire in your heart that, oh, hallelujah, there's nothing that cool you off. You're hot for the Lord. God wants you to be hot on fire. Hallelujah. The natural man receives not the things from the Spirit of God, for the poor said to him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. Many, many people in the Spirit are natural. That's mean they're thinking it out. And if you can think it out, it's not for the Spirit of God. I'll guarantee you it's not for the Spirit of God. You've got to trust God totally. And if you can't do that, then you're in trouble. Start praying until you can get to that place. God wants you to be able to trust Him as a living soul, that God supplied us with all the gifts. God supplied us with manifold blessings. God supplied us with heavenly blessings upon us. He has supplied us with His angels coming down as ministering spirits sent for the saints. God has blessed us. He's going to bless us till He takes us home, but you're responsible. You're responsible to have this responsibility in your heart that you will going to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart this day. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, out there this day, if you will pray this with me as I pray, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I come to you this day.
I come to you this day.
With my heart.
With my heart.
With my problems.
With my problems.
With the situations I faced.
With the situations I faced.
I come to you asking you.
And I come to you asking you.
That you'll forgive me.
That you'll forgive me.
Give me a new start.
Give me a new start.
Make me whiter than snow.
Make me whiter than snow.
And give me a love.
And give me a love.
That I will love you.
That I will love you.
And I will love my fellow brothers and sisters.
And I will love my fellow brothers and sisters.
Help me this day.
Help me this day.
That I might encourage others.
That I might encourage others.
Help me to be a blessing.
Help me to be a blessing.
Help me to love my light might so shine in this land.
Help me to have my life so shine in this land.
That I might be a blessing from heaven.
That I might be a blessing from heaven.
And thank you, Jesus.
And thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for helping me.
Thank you for helping me.
We thank you in Jesus' wonderful name.
We thank you in Jesus' wonderful name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.